Chapter 10 Until you begin to experience this renewal of your mind, there are many wonderful things God has planned for you that you cannot discover. In Romans 8 verse 7 Paul calls the old, unrenewed mind the carnal mind, which is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. God will not reveal his secrets or open up his treasures to a mind at enmity with him. But when your mind is renewed, you will begin to discover all that God has planned for your life. This unfolding of God's plan to your renewed mind will be progressive. Paul uses three words for it: good, pleasing, perfect. Your first discovery will be that God's plan for you is always good. God never plans anything bad or harmful for any of his children. Not merely is God's plan good, it is also pleasing. Full surrender to God is the gateway into a life filled with challenges and pleasures that cannot be experienced in any other way. Over the years, I have met many Christians who made this kind of surrender. I have never yet met one who regretted it. No other Christians, on the other hand, who were challenged to make this surrender and refused. Almost without exception, they ended up frustrated and unfulfilled. As you continue to progress in your discovery of God's plan, you will go beyond the good and the pleasing to the perfect. Fully embraced, God's plan is perfect. Complete. There are no omissions. It covers every area of your life, meets every need, satisfies every longing. If marriage is part of God's plan for you, then you can trust him to work out every detail, both for you and for the mate he has destined for you. He will bring you together with a person who is exactly suited to you that, together, you may experience marriage as God originally designed it. This will be on a level higher than the world has ever dreamed of. A second step is practicing obedience to God's will in every area of life. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. The next step is developing relationships with believers, because marriages tend to develop out of existing relationships. This is a safeguard against marrying a non-Christian. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. A fourth guideline is to look for the Holy Spirit to lead you. Acknowledge your dependence on the Holy Spirit and be sensitive to his leading. Usually the Holy Spirit's prompting is quiet and gentle. Those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. Another step is to watch what you allow into your heart as well as what you let out of your heart. If you indulge in fantasies or explicit sexual material, these can warp your perspective of what you are looking for. And developing relationships based on flirtations and shallow or physical involvements can keep you from finding the person you're seeking. Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. One of the most difficult steps is being willing to wait for God. We become impatient and take matters into our own hands. When you wait, not only is your faith tested, but your motives undergo purification as well. It also builds the character quality of maturity. The testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete. Waiting overcomes the erratic distortions which can be a part of moods and emotions. This verse is our reminder: since ancient times no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you, who acts on behalf of those who wait for him. Seek out the wisdom of other individuals, such as friends and family. Even secular research has shown the wisdom and value of doing this. The way of a fool seems right to him, but a wise man listens to advice. A fool spurns his father's discipline, but whoever heeds correction shows prudence. Finally, remember that it is the Lord who gives the gift of a wife or husband. Approach every situation and decision with the question, "What is going to please the Lord?" 92 The psalmist described this in Psalm 37 verse 4, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." He who finds a wife finds what is good and receives favor from the Lord. You may be asking, "But are there any other guidelines or principles that I could follow to find God's will?" Here is another way of looking at this process. Jim Dobson has suggested some basic principles for recognizing God's will for any area of one's life. These principles should be applied to any impressions that a person might have regarding marriage. Is the impression scriptural? Guidance from God is always in accordance with His Word. If a Christian is considering marrying a non-Christian, there is no use in praying for God's will. The Scripture is clear concerning this situation. In searching the Scriptures, verses should be taken within context, not in a random sampling. Is it providential? Every impression ought to be considered in the light of providential circumstances. Are necessary doors opening or closing? Is God speaking through events? Is the impression reasonable? Does the impression make sense? Is it consistent with the character of God to require it? If a person has numerous mixed feelings about marrying the other individual, if there is no peace over the upcoming event, and if the majority of friends and relatives are opposed to the wedding, the decision ought to be reconsidered. In yet a little different way of looking at this, one counselor identifies five voices which the believer can listen to for affirmation of his decision-making ability. He shared these principles in one of his messages to his congregation. No one single voice should carry the total weight of choosing a life partner. The first voice is that of Scripture itself. The balance that Scripture brings to our attempts at choosing a life partner leads us to balance all areas of our life. It is easy to be infatuated with many individuals with whom we come in contact. It is also easy to think that we have fallen head over heels in love with those same individuals. We can be attracted to believers and non-believers alike. Scripture itself helps us to get a perspective on the kind of person the believer is to marry. It clearly states, "Do not be bound together with unbelievers, for what partnership have righteousness and lawlessness, or what fellowship has light with darkness?" The believer consequently has no real freedom, except to choose a believer as his partner. The second voice is that still small voice, which is God's Spirit guiding us from within, that inner feeling that says, what you are about to do is okay. It is important to remember that in determining God's will for so important a decision as the choice of a life partner, each voice is carefully checked with the others. The third voice is based upon providential and experiential circumstances. This voice is heard as we move through courtship and see more and more that this person may truly be the partner God has called to be our companion through life, the parent of our child, and the one who will provide for and nurture us for a lifetime. The fourth voice is often locked in a cell constructed from our own emotions. It has been said that when love comes in, reason flies out the door. We do need to give deep and prayerful consideration to the individual whom we may choose, and it is our choice ultimately as to who will be our life partner. The fifth voice may actually be a chorus of voices. It is the affirmation provided by other individuals who play significant roles in our lives. Think about all of these suggestions. Remember to integrate them with how you are going to build compatibility with that special person. Remember that God wants to fulfill every plan and purpose He has for your life. Consider also a few more words from Derek Prince. Remember, from now on you do not make your own decisions. You find out God's decisions and make them yours. There is one more thing to remember, too. God gives His best to those who leave the choice to Him.